once you've greeted someone and given them a high five, an elbow, smile, you may be seated. Hey, man, good to see everyone today at New Life Fellowship. Amen. I know the Lord is going to talk to you today. He's already encouraged me, and I just feel like strong deliverance for many here today. Amen. Those that are online, you're going to be encouraged today that the way you see God, the way you see Christianity, the way you see yourself, amen, you can really relax because God knows what He's doing. Amen. His plan has already been settled long ago. And what He did 2,000 years ago, that act of sacrifice and love on a cross, it takes all precedent. Amen. The fear of dying. Anybody had to deal with the fear of dying of late? All right. Well, awesome. You believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I don't mean that facetiously. I mean that sincerely because right now in our world, there's such a fear of dying that is just in, it's just like a big, it's like a mouth that's trying to gather them all in and swallow them. Amen. And the voice of the enemy is speaking and bringing that kind of level of fear on humanity. When the suicide rate has already moved past 5 times the normal rate. That voice has been lying long enough. The Lord keeps reminding me, and I know if you're paying attention, you have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying, amen, that Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the cross of Jesus Christ, is emphatic. It's emphatic. It rules. He's in charge. He's already won the battle. Anything that says anything less than life, capital L-I-F-E, and brings hope, it's a lie. It's a lie. And there's a lot of voices in our world right now that's saying many, many things contrary to what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying half the things that we're hearing. I want you to understand that very clearly. When the Lord talks to me in time, and I'm open to hear what God's telling me about where you're at so that you can have life and that life more abundantly. You can believe in who God says you are when you look into the mirror. Amen. You live a life of faith, not fear. You live a life of hope, not doubt. Amen. You live a life of love. And not frustration and anxiety. Amen. And broken relationships. Too many voices are speaking. And right now, the Lord wants you to know, amen, you have life today. You have hope today, and you're special to Him. I'm going to tell you, I haven't been in the pulpit for the last 3 weeks, and I was looking forward to being here last weekend. Amen. But the Lord decided He wanted me to celebrate my uncle's homegoing. Amen. And what a celebration. And by the way, COVID didn't get my Uncle Tommy. If you've heard COVID got Uncle Tommy, it didn't get him. Amen. He was very coherent. His lungs were good. He was just ready to go. And it was a wonderful going for him. And we celebrated that. Had a good time, but I want you to know God was talking to me about purpose, and I haven't heard what Sean shared last week on purpose because I want to deliver what the Lord's given me because we've been talking about what God's been saying to us. I'm going to listen to what the Lord said to you last weekend, amen, sometime this evening or in the morning. Nonetheless, God has something to say to you that is going to bring more liberty, more relaxation, may I say it like, more freedom, more peace in your life, and you can kind of, you know, you ever felt like you've been grinding against the gears, trying to get into the next gear, and then, man, what's the deal? I'm stuck in this gear, and I can't seem to get no momentum, and it's like, am I going to make it? It's like that, you know, back when you was a kid, you remember, I think I can. The Lord wants to give you, I know I can, before you leave today, and that you have been chosen. You're special. And we heard, amen, Chuck Maher, he brought a beautiful message a couple of weeks ago that said, the ones that have the greatest hope have the greatest influence. If you have the most hope, you have the most influence. And hope is a theme. And without hope, we're just miserable. And so God, every waking day, he's wanting to give you more hope. He wants you to know that the message is not bad, it's good. The news isn't bad, it's great. Amen? God wants you to know that we are carriers of the good news. We don't have no bad news to give out. Amen. That's why that homegoing of Malka Tom was so powerful, because he had reached a place in his life where he was walking in his identity in Christ. And he was living out his identity in Christ in such a way that he couldn't stop being thankful of how good God is. And his conversation was always laced with God's so good. God's been such a blessing. Anybody want to have a conversation? Amen. And that your conversation always goes to the place where you just can't shut up about what God's doing in your life. Doom, despair, agony, and defeat's not part of the conversation. It's not hee-haw. And for the young people, you need to go check that out sometimes. When you're in your true identity, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because you not only have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying, you've let that hearing, that experience of that's God speaking, get a hold of you in such a way to empower you now to be a follower of everything he says. You can only say what he says. You can only do what you see him do. Does anybody want to walk that kind of life? And I can promise you he's not worried about 2020. God hadn't got no heartburn. He doesn't have to stop and take Rolaids to get over all the stuff going on. He's totally in charge, and he's asking his kids to join with him on his mission. And he chose you. You're powerful. Amen. Regardless if you hear that, amen, through the many voices that says you're insignificant, you're not able, you'll never be worth anything, you're worthless, you're a failure. We've heard all those voices clear, right? But God says you're special. And at New Life Fellowship, we every waking day, everybody is given the opportunity to experience the promise. Everybody. And in experiencing the promise or receiving the promise, you get to experience freedom. Amen. I don't know if anybody don't like to be free. Freedom's cool. And when you can step into freedom after you've received empowering promise from heaven and walk in freedom, you can be a world changer. We call them life changers at New Life Fellowship. Why don't we call them life changers? We call them life changers because they're chosen. They're blood bought. They're God's house of rest. It's God's platform by which he's able. A life changer is God's platform, which gives him, amen, the ability, amen, to finish what he started. He's not going to do it without his body. Life changers are the body of Christ. They never go to church. They are the church. Wherever they are, they're manifesting Jesus Christ and the good news, amen, that he gave us 2,000 years ago through his sacrifice. Hope and life is everything that they do. And I want to challenge you today with a question, because the question is this. God's purpose for you, ? Everybody has an idea. Oh, Pastor, I can tell you what God's purpose is for me. Great. Wonderful. And the interesting thing about it is, I have shared God's purpose for me at times, and I've come to find out that some of the things that I adopted from the influences in my life was not necessarily God's purpose for me. But I bought into it because it was something that equaled good. Anybody ever done that? Matter of fact, it was so good that I got so busy doing it, I got tired. I'm saying it like that so that you can maybe consider your lack of involvement on where you should be in the kingdom is because maybe you're over-involved in something that looks like the kingdom that maybe is not. Is that okay? God's purpose for you, ? Amen. There's a few scriptures I do want to read today, and I don't know if I'll read all of them. It's like three of them. I hope I get to three. But as a life changer, we want to get to the place where, like Jeremiah said, the voice of God was in my heart as a burning fire. I just couldn't shut up. I tried to stop it because every time I opened my mouth, you know, people would seemingly get offended, but I couldn't shut up. Because it wasn't the people that were being offended, it was the spirits that were manipulating the people that God was in love with. And sometimes things look like, man, this is logical. I need to hold on to this because this has got to be God because it just equals logic. And if you hold on to these ideas and you let the truth kind of slide away, you're not going to live in freedom in your relationship with God or with humanity, with your wife, your husband, your children, your family, the employees you work with. Anybody want to have freedom to be connected? Amen, and have healthy relationships. And so we want to get to a place where when we hear the voice of God, we know it's His voice because it's like a burning fire inside. Anybody want to have that kind of, you know, instead of always playing the God card, you know, God said, and never when you say God says, is there any evidence of any burning? It's like, I just believe God said. It's logical that He would say this. See, anybody thought like that before? It's logical God would say this, so God must have said, and now I'm going to use that as my trump card. God said. Are you ready to be delivered from that? To where when you open your mouth, you're opening your mouth because inside of you there's a fire. Ah. And it brings life. It don't bring death. It brings hope. It don't bring frustration and doubt. But out of you comes life every time you open your mouth. And it's triggered by a fire inside. And in several places, it says, and the zeal of the Lord will do this. You know what that's telling me? That it's God's heartbeat that we become His mouthpiece. And God has some things He wants to do, but He can't do it because He's limited Himself to our willingness to let Him come and be King of His kingdom within us. He wants our hearts. And He's limited Himself to us letting Him ignite a fire in us to give us confirmation that's Him so that we can release it, let it out. God's purpose for you. And so, presently, right now, in Christianity, these things are God's purpose for us in Christianity across the board. And hear me, remember this, it is mission. There is some objective involved in here, but anybody heard of the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19? You'll go out in all the world and make disciples and baptize, and well, this is what we do, a Great Commission. But that is a mission. But we're going to find out here just in shortly that's not God's purpose for you. We're going to find out what God's purpose is for each one of us from heaven so that we can potentially be a part of the mission of Christ. Anybody heard Jesus talk about these signs follow them that believe in my name? They're going to cast out demons. They're going to speak with new tongues. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. These signs follow them that believe. That would be something that would sound like purpose, don't it? But that's not God's purpose for you and me. Anybody heard of the great commandment that we love others as he's loved us? Anybody ever been on the Great Commission, but you didn't fulfill the Great Commandment? But, Pastor, I don't like people. I'll do the Great Commission, but I don't know, I can't do that Great Commandment. And so, what if these things, the commission of God that we go out and baptize and make disciples, the fact that as a believer these signs follow me, if I truly believe, you can count on it following you as a believer, and that if you're going to follow Christ, you're going to love people as he loves you. What if these things here are, and these signs and wonders are evidences of something that Christianity has a potential of, but they're overlooking something that's more important? Now, I can already tell you that if you've been trying to be a part of the Great Commission without the Great Commandment, you looked over something that was important. For the Great Commandment to happen in my life so that I can love you as he loves me, something else has to happen. Would anybody agree? The idea that, bless God, I'm going to love you because Jesus loves me, it don't work that way. Now, there may be some truth in it. The fact that I can love you is because he loves me. But how did I get to the place to demonstrate the kind of love that he gave me? I'm going to tell you something. When I experienced the love of God, that was wow. In 1974, when I was baptized with the Spirit and fire, because, come on, his Spirit is love. God is love. When I was baptized with Spirit and fire, I remember that happened. I hugged everybody's neck. I didn't have no enemies after I experienced God, because he didn't have no enemies other than the devil. And the devil, he already defeated him. And I didn't have to worry about beating that guy up because he'd already got beat up. He made him walking material for me. And so, we ask the question, what if these things, these signs and wonders are evidences of something that Christianity is potentially and presently overlooking? How many of you heard a preacher or a pastor make a statement like this? We've all heard it. I remember the day when God called me. Anybody ever heard that before? I remember when the call of God came to my life, and I knew that I was called to preach. Anybody ever heard that before? Now, that's a true statement. That calling comes not only to the guy with the mic, or the lady with the mic, but the people in the audience. It's not a call that's just reserved for a few. It's a call to everybody. Many are called, few are chosen. Well, what's the problem here? God's waiting on us because he's already chose us. He's waiting on us to choose him. He needs a vehicle. He needs a platform. He needs his house. Let me go ahead and go to a real strong point here. The prophet prophesied in the Old Testament, and for you that hadn't read your Bible in Isaiah 28, you'll find it very interesting. It says something very interesting in verse 11. It said, "For with a stammering lip and another tongue shall I speak to this people." And it goes on to say, "This is the rest and the refreshing, where the weary may find rest." This is the rest where the weary may find rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Well, Like, what are you talking about there? What's the prophet saying there? When you go really look at it and open up here and pay attention to what's being said here, God can't be tired, really. Can God get tired? Not really, but he can get weary of what? In the right sense, when he's looking for a relationship, he's looking for connection with what he loves. You're the, let me say it like this. What if you were God and the apple of your eye was your creation, humanity, and you're God? But your creation, which is the apple of your eye, your passion, they won't let you in. Would you get kind of wearied? Would that tire you a little bit? But he didn't quit. He didn't give up. He set it up to where you and I could open up to him and there could be an experience between heaven and earth. Amen. Where the one who is wearied, God, could find his resting place. He could come to his house and make his abode. Oh, Pastor. Oh, you know why I know you're catching that right now? Because we're all wired the same. We all have a desire to experience God on another level. And when you've experienced him on that level, all of a sudden there's another desire to go to another level. That's why he said you're changed into his image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. You go from one glory, one experience of God, and then you desire. There's more to this. Why would you even... Because God wired you to want more. He set you up to experience him in such a way that once he's able to come to his house and make his abode, amen, and the thing that he longed for, the thing he reached for, the thing he wanted more than anything was a relationship between us and him. We open up and we let him come to his house and we let the breath of life come in. And it becomes like fire inside of us to the point that the only way we're going to say anything ever, that fire has to give me the liberty to release it. I'm on fire. But for me to get there, something else has to happen. And some of y'all are saying, Pastor, please hurry up and give us the punchline. And I'm telling you, I feel so good right now in the spirit that some of you are just going to go, oh, thank you, Jesus. This is so light and easy. Some of you are going to say, I should have had a V8. It's like the enemy knows how to play us. He knows how to get us so involved in what we call the work of God. After a while, it's like, man... I used to do the work of God, but man, it wore me out, and I just don't know what to do right now. I'm just kind of hanging out over here trying to catch my breath. I can preach this today because I've wore those T-shirts before, and I've been burning layers of them because I hadn't met anybody that don't want to be a good person. Everybody wants to be associated with good. So getting delivered of all the lies that and the definitions of what we perceive to be good, getting set free from all those lies so that we can actually have fellowship with the one who is good is so important right now. But on this particular day and all of our world that it's Sunday, there's many people coming together and they're working hard to feel good about the fact that God would accept me if something happens and maybe if this COVID thing gets me, I'll make it in. Does that language sound like it's from heaven? Well, Pastor, everybody's got to die. Yeah. Well, I might have to die of COVID. Hear me. I'm not being facetious again. I'm attacking a lying spirit right now that has produced the fear of death. And the fear of death is not for the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ took dominion and defeated death. 2,000 years ago. And when he defeated death, he brought life, and life more abundantly. Does that mean that this body's not going to go back down into the dust? Oh, yes, the body here is going back to the dust from which it came. I got a new body waiting on me. But I'm excited that inside this body, there's a spirit man that will never die. There's a spirit man that's fully alive and on fire for the kingdom of God. And the Lord's allowed me to have this temple that belongs to him to be his instrument, amen, and his mouthpiece, his platform to say what he wants to say, to do what he wants to do. And he don't want COVID praised. He don't want COVID to have any energy. He wants COVID under my feet. Amen. And by the way, I'll meet anybody where you're at. Whatever level of faith you're at, I'll meet you. I love you. You're powerful. You don't know how powerful you are. I still don't understand how powerful God has made me. Okay? So I'm not mocking anyone that's frustrated with all that's went on in 2020, everything that's going on right now. I meet everybody where they're at, but there's one thing that has to be done. The enemy's got to be put to rest, and all his lies have got to be acknowledged. Death don't win. Jesus wins. Amen? Thank you, Father. And so, in Ephesians 4 and 11, You've heard preachers say it. I mean, I'm called to preach. And next thing you know, you're thinking, well, I'm left out. They get to have all the fun. They get to get under the anointing. They get to baptize and make disciples. And they get to equip. They get to do all the stuff. They get, well, where am I at in this thing? And I know that you hadn't said it out loud like that, but the enemy knows how to keep talking. And taking advantage of statements that have been taken out of context, amen, to make you feel less than who you are. And I'm about to read to you what God's purpose is for you. It says in Ephesians 4 and 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Powerful ministries here, five categories. What are they for? To equip the saints, verse 12, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So today I'm supposed to be equipping, not ministering. If you come to be ministered to, there's some believers in this house that are powerful, anointed men and women of God. And they're going to minister to you shortly. But what I'm supposed to be doing is equipping the body for the ministry. Right? But I want you to know something. This is still not God's purpose for you. Oh, Pastor. I thought I just got a call from heaven. Yeah, you did. You know, the call's on you. You are, if God has his way in your life, you will be his minister wherever you go. Whatever you do, whatever you put your hand to, you will be letting him be in charge of your life so that he can, through you, minister his will in this earth. But that's still not his purpose for you. Amen. Ephesians 4:13 will help us better understand what God's purpose is for you and for me. Until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to, here you go, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ is God's purpose for you. We'll say it like this, break it down so it's easy. When you relax and you let him take over and take charge, because 1974 was when I was filled with the Spirit, but I heard God speak to me a couple of years before that as a young lad, around 10 years old. Say, come follow me, and I will make you. And I didn't understand that then at 10 years old. And eventually, because I was able to hear him reach for me, conviction hit my heart in such a way, by the time I was 12, I had to go with him on this journey, and that's where he met me when I made that decision, and I was filled with his Spirit. Did y'all know that's not the only time God says, come follow me and I'll make you through life? Anybody ever had to face a troubling time? A storm? A relationship that was had a lot of tension in it? Bad circumstances? Sickness in your body? I mean, stuff is coming at you like full force, like a freight train. Every storm, every challenge, every circumstance, every dark moment in all of our lives, Jesus is there. And if you'll listen, he's saying, come, follow me, and I'll navigate you through this. And while I navigate you through this stuff you're going on in your life, I'm going to make you. And that storm, that circumstance, that challenge that you're dealing with is another level of opportunity that God's saying, you want to go to the next glory? You want to make it to a place where you haven't ever seen what you're about to be able to see? It's this stuff that's going on right now. It's this storm that's brewed up in your life, and it's got your boat full of water, and you feel like you're going to sink in any moment. It's this circumstance becomes your greatest opportunity to go to the next level. God is there saying, come follow me, and I will make you. Oh, I know how to give up and give in and crash and burn, and he'll meet us there while we're smoldering. Like we got a very few ashes left. And he knows how to take us out of our smoldering situation where there's just basically only ash left, and he can bring us up out of it and let us know, I don't quit. I have faith in you. There's still life there. You want to try this again? This time, follow me. Don't go the way of the voices. Don't go the way of the world. Don't go the way, amen, that are pulling on you. Trust me during this fight, this challenge, this sickness, this relationship breakdown. I want to show you glory. You see, God's purpose for me is I'm coming into his statue. Haven't arrived yet, but I'm still on my way. And as I go, this is what's so beautiful about it, ladies and gentlemen. I get to baptize and make disciples. Signs follow. My faith in the fact that God can finish what he starts in me. I can lay hands on the sick while he's still purging me and cleansing me and building me. Amen. An enemy can see the effects of God's handiwork in my life, and he can run seven different ways because God's making me. And he'll allow the enemy to come in like a flood sometimes. And it just don't seem fair. But what's fair about it is he's there. He's right there, and he don't ever lose. He wins every time, and he's asking us to do the greatest form of worship we can give him, and that's trust. Can I trust God? I'm talking to somebody right now. There's several of you in the room right now that you're dealing with trusting God, and you're trying to figure out how can I trust God with all this stuff going? And if you ever step out and give it a chance, he'll meet you there. You can't beat that kind of worship to him. Do you know that the Lord would much rather have me trust him while I'm going through hell on earth as worship? And thank God for our worship team and what we do here before we minister the word. The wonderful, me being down here on my face or me worshiping God with my hands lifted. Thank you for that. But he's looking for me to trust him through a storm. He's wanting me to trust him and worship him while I'm going through what don't seem fair. And that's the greatest accolade that I can give the one that died my death when I deserve to die that death. For me to come here and enjoy the presence of God, can I tell you, it's childish on my part to come here and enjoy the presence of God. Oh, man, it feels so good. And then I leave here and I don't do anything with him. And I act like the fact that because I felt God on Sunday, we gathered together and I felt the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for letting me feel you, but I'm sorry that I'm not going to be what you want me to be the rest of the week, but thank you for letting me feel you. And I leave here and I go do everything contrary to the presence I'm feeling and I'm entertaining instead of taking the presence of God and hosting him and saying, look, I don't know what's going to happen when I walk in the office on Monday, Lord, but I'm hosting you first and foremost. I'm going to trust you because, man, it's really messed up there, and I don't know how to navigate that, but I'm going to trust you to navigate me through it, Lord, and I'm just going to host you all the way. Because he can't finish making me when I won't let him navigate me through the trials of life. He can't finish bringing me into the full stature of his identity that he's already given me until I trust him with the stuff that ain't right. It's that stuff that's not fair that's the key tools, the key ingredient, the key dynamic that sets me up to know him, to understand him better. Not that I'm ever going to understand him, but I can have relationship with him now. And I can know him on a level I never knew him before. And when I'm able to know him on that level that I've never known him before, what I'm doing is now I'm taking on my true identity. Somebody's got to get this today. You got to get this. You got to be set free. You got to be liberated from the idea of what we perceive Christianity to be and become Christ. It's the things in the world that's going on right now. That's why 2020 is not a liability. 2020 is an opportunity. 2020 is our opportunity to be made into the image that we're supposed to be made into. It's perfect setup. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken so that those things that cannot be shaken will remain. And we've got to get okay with the fact that we're in the mix right now with stuff that's just not right. But it's all right because Daddy is there. Daddy is in charge, and he picked you. He chose you. He's got a plan for you, and he will finish what he started. God's purpose for you is to come into his image. God's purpose for you is the fallen nature that you and I have had since birth. Amen. But we be translated into the likeness of sonship, that we become Christ. Galatians 4, we take on our identity. That's God's purpose. And from that, all the other beautiful things begin to happen. You can't help but baptize and make disciples. It just organically happens. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. Amen. The devils, when they see you coming, they're already hightailing it. It's just the way it goes, because you're coming into, amen, the image that God gave from the very beginning to Adam. Amen. We're being redeemed back into that same dominion and authority and power. But the enemy's got to work overtime today, because he does not tire. He will keep working, amen, feverishly, amen, to steal, kill, and destroy your hope, your faith, and your love. I'm bringing those 3 points to you right now, because this is so important that we get it. You can't have faith and you can't come into that mature love without, amen, hope being the substance. It has to be the substance. You that have the most hope, you have the most influence. Where did this hope come from? Okay, it comes from the fact that, hey, you heard the good news. Come on, in Acts chapter 1 and 8, Jesus said, he told them, he said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. And this message is going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other. Why did it start in Jerusalem? Why was Jerusalem so important and Judea so important? Because they had the message before the rest of the world had it. There's a Messiah on the way. They kept hearing this message of hope. There's an answer. We've got hope coming. And it starts where there's hope. Oh, somebody's going to catch on here in just a minute. Come on. Until you come into the unity of the faith and into the knowledge of the Son of God, which brings us into the full stature of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, when you talk about the unity of the faith, it's not hard. It's not heavy. It's not burdensome. The unity of the faith is simply the message of hope. We all say the same thing. The same message that came to Jerusalem and Judea came to Samaria. It came to Cornelius' house, a Gentile's house. The same message. The same message that came to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the Cornelius' house is the same message that Paul gives John the Baptist followers. It didn't change. I'm talking about unity of faith. What message are we carrying? And the message that we carry is the message that moves us into the same kind of unity that moves heaven. Christianity's got too many messages, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Lowe, be careful now. Oh, I'm going to have to be careful for nothing. There's a fire inside of me that's after something in you. It's after something in you. It's after his image, his plan. He's after his treasure. And he can't do it unless we're willing to come together and broadcast the same message that he gave the keys to a man named Peter. Whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, Peter. Isn't it interesting that an angel comes to Cornelius, a Gentile, and the angel couldn't preach to Cornelius? Couldn't. But the angel said, there's one you need to go send for. His name is Peter. Go to Samaria too. Philip's trying to give them the message. They couldn't receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Peter isn't there yet. When Peter gets there, isn't that interesting? Same message. Unity of faith. Unity of faith. What good news message are we carrying? Well, you need to be at church at 11225 Loop 1604 so you can be a part of a department, and you need to be out there greeting people, and you need to be, you know, practicing on the worship team, and taking care of the parking lot, and you need to be doing all these things. That's the you need to be working hard feeding the poor. And by the way, we need to love people as Christ loves us, okay? But that's not the purpose of God for you. Giving millions of dollars to the less fortunate, that's not God's purpose for you. It may be something that comes out of you living up to God's purpose for you when you step into the full stature of Christ. You might do that. But you're walking in the Spirit. The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Without those two elements coming into the unity of the faith and in the knowledge, come on, you're walking with Him through thick and thin, through storms, through circumstances, through broken relationships. You're walking with Him and you're coming into a knowledge of Him. I'm not talking about being intelligent. The more you walk and the more you gain relationship intimately with Him, you might get intelligent. But the first thing you want to be is smart. And I mean that sincerely, ladies and gentlemen. I don't understand half the things the Lord tells me. But I know as He's talking, and if I'll just stay there with Him and hold on and be smart enough to hang out with Him, understanding will show up. But the temptation among Christianity is, I want to get intelligent first before I get smart. You got to hang out with Him. Look, this past Tuesday, early morning, I thought I'd ate too much pizza, but I had a night vision. I'm going to close with this. And I'm closing with this because it's easy to get sucked into the Martha Mary syndrome. Anybody know the Martha Mary syndrome? I'm just going to tell you, Martha, she was busy doing some good stuff. But she also was arrogant enough to challenge Jesus on a level that she says, my sister Mary, here I am, I'm doing all this work, and she ain't doing nothing. She's lazy. And she thought that she had the right to challenge Jesus on what Mary was doing. Anybody ever had that in your life? You thought, well, my God, I'm better than they are. I do more good stuff than they do. They look like lazy Christians to me. Is this okay? And we don't want to admit that we actually got the same attitude that Martha got. When we look around and try to figure out, well, I think you could be doing better for Jesus than what you're doing. And Jesus comes right back at her because He loves her. She's precious to Him. She's treasure. Martha, Martha. Be careful when God has to say your name twice. Right? She meant well. I need some help. Mary's not helping me. I'm working hard to make sure everybody's served here. Everybody ever felt like that before? And Jesus tells her, she, the one you're picking on, she chose the greater thing. I don't know, maybe you're catching it, but that should relax you. That should like, oh man. I've been working hard to get Jesus' attention. And Mary looked like she ain't doing diddly, and she got all of His attention. And the Lord, in my night vision, I see tens of thousands of pizzas. I'm going, man, tens. That's a bunch of pizza. And I'm y'all laugh at me, but here, I'm thinking, I want to know the recipe to that pizza. I'm thinking, tens of thousands of pizzas. And I'm thinking, it's all the same pizza. That's a good pizza. And I think, man, I got to have that recipe. And while I'm musing over what I'm seeing, and I'm like, I'm awake too, you know, this word come to me, El Rico. I don't know if that's how you say it in Spanish, but it's R-I-C-O, El Rico. And it just kept coming to me. And I'd get up during the night and go back to bed, and there it is again. And like neon sign, El Rico. I got it that morning, and I said, I got to go find out what that word means. And I started weeping, because in my vision, my night vision, I'm experiencing the dynamics of presence. And I know God's trying to tell me something. And he's trying to talk to me about you and his plan for you. And when I saw the rich, the wealthy, the tasty, the fertile, I mean, I couldn't get through the rest of the stuff. I started, oh, my God. And what he's talking to me about, God's purpose for you. And John goes to his disciples. He's in jail. He has his disciples come. He says, you go find Jesus. You ask him. You sit up. You ask him, say, are you the one or should we look for another? And they go and they say, Jesus, John wants us to ask you the question. Are you the one or should we look for another? And Jesus turned to them and said, you go tell John the things that you have heard and that you have seen. And I ask the question to the body right now. Are you the one or should we look for another? I'm talking to Jesus right now. Are you the one or should we look for another? And you know, you know. Y'all keep looking because you're going to see this guy's going to keep changing into the image God designed him to change into. There's more to come. I can't tell you how he's going to get me there altogether. I got some ideas. And I probably prefer some of those storms and challenges not to exist, but they have to. And I'm okay with it. Bring it on. As long as you're with me, Lord, let's do this. Is anybody catching it yet? And so we have a world out there that's looking for him. And the only way they're ever going to see him is when we stand up. They're not looking for you to baptize and make disciples or run devils off or heal the sick. They're looking for you to be the someone they're looking for. If you'll be who God says you are, you'll baptize and make disciples. And you'll run the devil in 7 different ways. But he ain't asking you to do those things. He's asking you to be who he says you are. He wants you to spend time with him. And he wants to give you a fire. Come on, the voice of the Lord, like a fire shut up in my bones. If you ain't got that yet, come on, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. What are we being saved from? False identity to Christ. If the voice of the Lord has not become a fire, like a fire in your bones, come on now. You need to let him come to his house. There's a weary Lord. Come on, he's tired of waiting. He wants you more than you want him. He's passionate about having you, amen, in his life. He wants to bring life into your heart. Could we stand? Thank you, Father. Are you the one, or should we look for another? Would you let the Lord talk to you about that right now? I'm telling you, he's wanting me to tell you, he says you're the one. He says you're the one. You're the one that's going to make a difference on the job Monday. You're the one that's going to change your community. You're the one that's going to bring healing into your home. You're the one that's going to make a difference in the lives that you are drawn to and the people that God puts in your path. You're the one, and God chose you. You're the wealthy. You're the rich. You're the tasty. You're the fertile. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the one. Anybody ready to let him come like he's never come before in your life? Could I ask you to, if you'll let me pray for you, I'll pray for you. But don't stay in the ditch any longer. Let's arise and make sure the enemy is scattered moving forward. Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Open up your spirit. Be filled with the Spirit right now.